This morning's public read comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. So if you'd like to join us and follow along, take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, beginning in verse 41. Luke 19, verse 41. Then when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round about, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went out into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now, this is very interesting portion of scripture, because those of you that are quite familiar with the Bible, you know that Jesus's Olivet Discourse, as it's recorded by Luke in this particular gospel, is not given or recorded until chapter 21. We're in chapter 19. Because the words that are found here in chapter 19 are very, very familiar and very, very similar to the words that Jesus is going to give to his 12 apostles on the Mount of Olives in Luke 21. Notice when he utters these words, he's in the temple. He's in the temple. He's not on the Mount of Olives as he will be in Luke 21. So it would seem that Jesus gave a pre-warning to the Olivet Discourse when it came to Jerusalem's destruction in AD 70. And it's found here. And it seemed to have been given to a much wider audience than Luke 21, where it was simply Jesus and the 12. Wow. But there's something found in these words that many Christians read and never see the connection. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 42. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day. But then he goes on to say in verses, and as we read further, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. But then drop down to verse 44. And shall lay thee, he's talking about Jerusalem's destruction in AD 70 by the Romans, when every stone of that temple complex was to be toppled. And they shall lay thee even with the ground. Talking about the temple building, that beautiful temple that Herod had adorned, Herod the Great, with further renovation. And thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. That's found in Luke 21, Mark 13, and Matthew 24. But here's the kicker. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now, I don't have the time in these 10 or 12 minutes that we spend doing this. But if you're at all familiar with Daniel's chapter 9, his 490 years of prophecy, if you are a good student and you know how to do your calculation, Jesus is telling them that there was a specific day. He says, thy day. He's talking about a specific day. The day of thy visitation. Jesus here was not talking about his birth in Bethlehem. He was not talking about his baptism by his cousin John there in the Jordan. The day that Jesus is referring to, and the day of their visitation he's referring to, is when he came into Jerusalem on that donkey. Zechariah 9:9. And Daniel's 490 years of prophecy, that 490 years of prophecy would be totally fulfilled when Messiah would come the first time. And here it is. When you did the calculation, you would come to find out that the 490 years of prophecy would actually come to its termination on or around the same day that the Lord Jesus would enter into Jerusalem. And in the midst of that final week, in the midst of the last 7 years of that 490 years, Messiah was going to be cut off in the middle of that week. And one half of seven is 3.5 years, and Jesus' public ministry was approximately 3.5 years. You say, well, what about the other 3.5 years? Well, if you do your timeline, that would bring you to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. Wow. So apparently, if the Jews were really anticipating Messiah, and they truly understand Daniel's 490 years of prophecy, if they really understood what that meant, and they did their own calculation when Jesus came into Jerusalem on that donkey, on the fold of an ass, they would have realized this was their day. That was their time of visitation, when Messiah would come into the city as king. But not a king that they wanted. They wanted a king that was going to ouster the Romans from off their land, get those unclean, uncircumcised dogs out of Judea, and usher in that Davidic kingdom, a geopolitical earthly kingdom on earth, with Jerusalem as the world's capital, and the Jews on top, and the Gentiles on the bottom. An earthly Davidic kingdom. Not a spiritual kingdom residing in the hearts of men and women who have been born from above. And by being born from above, you are able to not only see the kingdom, but graciously and obediently enter that kingdom. But did you also notice something in verse 42 that would ultimately lead to that destruction of that beautiful city? But now these things, he talks about, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace, the things that really belong to your peace, but now you're forfeiting it by rejecting and then eventually killing me, but now they're hid from your eyes. We call that judicial blindness. The religious leaders, because of their jealousy and envy and hatred of Jesus Christ, because he did not fit the image of the king they desired, thus they rejected him and brought him to Pilate to be killed. Because of that act of treason on their part, their eyes would be judiciously blind, and therefore lead to the city's destruction, as well as the destruction of biblical Judaism. And after AD 70, it was replaced, up until right now, rabbinic Judaism, which is not and has never reconciled itself to biblical Judaism. Okay. And then notice in verse 45, he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it, you have turned it into a den of thieves, or a den of vipers. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. You know what it said to the ending of verse 48? It says that the people heard Jesus attentively. It's going to be those same people who heard him so attentively on this day that will cry on Wednesday for his blood. So just because people are religious, like these people who heard Jesus very attentively, just because somebody is religious is no guarantee that they are a biblical Christian. Anybody can be religious. The Muslim is very religious, the Buddhist is very religious, and even the atheist is religious. That in itself doesn't make you a Christian. You must be born from above. Amen.